The Health Fix podcast teaches you how to take charge of your health naturally by giving you the information you need to elevate your health.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause, and today I have Tricia Nelson on. It's going to be a perfect podcast series here because I had a three-part series just before this one on what to do when you can't lose weight. And now we are going to be diving into the emotional eating component of weight loss. And so Tricia lost 50 pounds and has kept it off for over 30 years by identifying and just literally healing those underlying causes of her emotional eating, which is stuff we've been talking about for my last three podcasts. So you guys are well primed on this. So Tricia has spent over three decades of researching the hidden causes of the addictive personality. She's an emotional eating expert. She is an author of the number one best-selling book, Heal Your Hunger, 7 Simple Steps to End Emotional Eating Now. She also certifies health coaches so they can get better results, referrals, and revenue by helping their clients overcome emotional eating. Tricia is the host of a very popular podcast, and we are going to be talking all about Heal Your Hunger Show today too, because I think this is a great fit for folks who have been listening to my series. She's been featured on all kinds of television networks, from NBC to CBS, Fox, Discovery Health, and now here she is on The Health Fix. We're honored to have you on, Tricia. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Janine. It's such a pleasure.
So we are going to be talking about something that I opened up with on one of my podcasts about how I love to stuff down my emotions. And it's been something that I didn't realize what I was doing when I was a kid. And it really started to become a problem when I noticed I was hiding my eating from people that I was dating. So I've heard you talk about the guilt and the shame and things of that nature. So I can't wait to dive into things. So of course, as I start most podcasts, I love to have people talk about what it is that brought you to working on all this. How did you first know that something was going wrong, and how old were you?
Yeah. So I, you know, as far back as I can remember, I was an emotional eater. And of course, I didn't know that's what was going on. But literally, I think since like age 3 or 4, food was such a highlight for me. I just love to eat. I love to go out to dinner with my family. I love to cook food, serve it to other people, and of course, eat it. And I just thought I liked food. Like, I just thought that's the beginning and end of it. The problem for me is I gain weight very easily. So slow metabolism. And I basically, you know, started to get chubby as a kid. And by age 20, I was 50 pounds overweight. And I hated it. Like, I was not okay with it. I didn't, you know, I was not happy. I was bigger than my friends. I had a roll of fat on my tummy that I would scrunch up in my hands. And I had imagined cutting it off. Like you cut off this, you know, how you can cut off fat off the side of a steak. I'm like, well, it's just fat. Maybe I could just slice it off. And I thought, well, maybe I'll join the army and they'll force me to exercise at boot camp, or I'll get a disease and I'll automatically lose weight and I won't have to diet. You know, so I had all these crazy thoughts about my weight and what to do about it, because I was so out of control. Like eating less was not really in the picture. I mean, of course I dieted. That's the first thing you do when you're out of control with food and you hate your size, you diet. But I mean, I could lose weight for a period of time, but it, you know, after like 2 weeks, I'd be crawling the walls and I just bust out and I'd be like fantasizing about hot fudge sundaes and brownies and like things I really wanted to eat. So I just bust out, go ahead and eat. And once I started, you know, I was back to the races, and I had like probably 5 different sizes of pants in my closet because I never knew what size I was going to be, like, really. And I was always like hoping that I could make it down to the skinny jeans. So, you know, and so it was just a constant struggle for me. And, you know, I not only did diets and exercise programs, but I went deeper. You know, I tried 12-step programs. I went to an eating disorders therapist for a year one time, twice a week. Like, I was really into it. I went to workshops and listened to courses, and I was trying to dig into this, but at the end of the day, I could only last for a period of time, and then I'd overeat, and then I'd go, I was a binger. So once I kind of opened the door, I would end up binging, and I love to get like my favorite goodies and TV show and just sit there and veg out and eat. And I always ate more than I planned. And I did some pretty embarrassing things. Like I, you know, when I would binge, I never could vomit. Like I would try, like, you know, when you stuff yourself, you feel so gross, you want to vomit. And so I would try it. And by the grace of God, I was never able to do that. Cause I know that's a whole nother journey, you know, bulimia. And I was not able to do that. So, you know, but so I would just pack on pounds and it was very embarrassing. But when I would binge, sometimes I'd feel so sick that I'd throw like the rest of the food out and I'd be like, ah, I'm never eating those cookies again. Or I'm never eating another Dorito again, you know? And then like 3 hours later, you know, after I had a little bit room in my stomach after some digestion, I'd be like, oh my God, I remember those cookies. There's still some left. And I threw them out and I'd go get them in the trash. And I just remember Janine thinking that I'm the worst of the worst. Like I am so like disgusted with myself that I would literally eat out of the trash. So that's, and of course I thought I was the only one in the world who did this kind of thing. Right. And to be honest, I did I reenacted my garbage eating video. I reenacted that scene in a YouTube video and I ended up getting like 60,000 hits and, you know, dozens of comments like, oh my God, I've done that. Or I can't believe I'm not the only one. And so we all do that. We all think we're the only one who has done these terrible debased things, you know, with food, but it's a pretty common experience. So basically that was my experience. It was hell. And thankfully the turning point came when I got so tired of the diets. I got so tired of that yo-yo dieting, the roller coaster ride, you know, gaining 40 pounds, losing 20, gaining 10, you know, losing 5, gaining 30, you know, and what happened is I met somebody who was able to really help me heal. And this person had been obese and was really more like a spiritual healer. And he showed me literally how to go deep and heal at the deeper levels. And that changed everything for me. And I learned about emotional eating and my emotions and how to really start using new ways to, you know, deal with my emotions in a healthy way. And that was over 30 years ago. And I've been blessed to be in a thin body ever since. So I joined him in helping other people. So I've been doing this work my entire adult life. And more recently, about 4 years ago, I founded Heal Your Hunger so I could focus on emotional eating for women all around the globe. And this is what I do. And I love it every day that I get to help a woman transform her relationship with food.
Oh, that's so awesome. That's so awesome. And yeah, sharing those things, right? Those things that we don't want to admit that we've done. Oh, I've totally pulled things out of the trash before. Absolutely. Yeah. After my husband threw it away and then he went out, I was.
Yeah, exactly.
And you find yourself like, oh my God, or I'll make brownies and I will like take what I ate and then went, oh my God, I ate so many. So then I'll put them into containers so you can't tell how much I ate.
Right. It's, yeah.
Oh, it's such a thing. It's such a thing. So I think a lot of people and a lot of my patients that I work with will tell me, you know, okay, great. That's fine. How do I really heal though? Like, come on, doc, there's got to be some magical supplement, some magical protocol, things of that nature. What would you say to folks who are kind of like, yeah, right. What would be the first step to start kind of getting into that core of the emotional eating? What do we have to assess first?
You know, I have something that I like to refer to as the PEP test. And I want to start with that because it's just a way for people to understand what's going on. Because so many people are like I was, and they're like, I just like food. Like this whole emotional eating thing, I don't see it, you know, and we don't because it's working. Like when we eat over our emotions, we don't know what our emotions are, in which case we're like, I'm not eating over my emotions because we don't have emotions, you know, when we're numbed out on sugar and carbs, we're not really in tune. Okay. So just to get people in tune, I want to share this PEP test. And what this is a way of understanding, you know, we already know what food does to us because, you know, we get fat, we, you know, get autoimmune issues, diabetes, you know, heart disease. I mean, or maybe it doesn't go that far, but we know, you know, our doctor's giving us a warning. You're telling your, you know, your patients, hey, you got to watch this, you got to watch that. So, I mean, we know what it does to us to a degree. Our cholesterol shoots up when we eat too much ice cream or cheese, you know, but we don't really think about what it does for us. And so this is really a little pivot I want people to start to make is like, what's this food doing for me? And so P in the PEP test, PEP is an acronym, the P stands for painkiller. So food is a painkiller. Like we use it to numb our pain. And people may be like, I'm not in pain, but what about, you know, a job that's like, you know, we shouldn't be there anymore and we know it, but we're afraid to leave. What about a relationship that's kind of outworn its welcome? You know, what about, you know, taking care of sick parents or kids, you know, who are dysregulated? I mean, there's so many situations in life that are painful. They're just, you know, life is not easy. And so we turn to food to numb that pain, to anesthetize, you know, uncomfortable feelings. Mm-hmm. So that's the first way that food serves us. The second way is E stands for escape. So the second way is we use it as a form of escape. You know, when we're overwhelmed from being mommies, you know, from being good workers or good doctors, I mean, we're sitting there putting our all into life, you know, and sometimes feeling very unrewarded by that. And so we're just feeling exhausted. And we also, at my experience is people overeat tend to overthink and we have fear. So our heads kind of awfulize and start thinking about the worst case scenario and life seems hard sometimes. So we just want to escape. We want to escape our worries and our troubles. And food is a great way to do that. I used to get my goodies, you know, I'd be so excited to watch TV with my favorite, you know, brownies and ice cream, or and you got to have some like chips with that because salty goes with sweet. And, you know, and so I sit in front of the TV, but then, you know, before I know it, I've pegged out and I'm feeling so gross. So, you know, it's like, why would I do such a thing? Well, my experience is the last P in PEP stands for punishment. And we actually use food as a form of punishment, even though we're not conscious, we're thinking we're treating ourselves. But when we go overboard and we stuff ourselves and we feel sick, and then the next day we cancel our plans with our girlfriends because we're embarrassed, or we turn our video off on Zoom, you know, because we don't want people to see our puffy face, you know, like, why would I do that to myself? Why would I get zits on my face? You know, I know these foods aren't good for me. And it's really because of deep lying guilt. You know, overeaters are overfeelers, and we tend to feel guilt very easily. And so for that reason, you know, this is a big driver of our overeating. Or, you know, when we feel crappy about ourselves because we overeat, we can be really snippy and bitchy, you know, and that feels bad because we're good people, you know. And so we end up beating ourselves up subconsciously with these food binges. So back to the PEP, the P stands for painkiller, the E stands for escape, and the other P stands for punishment. So I just ask people to start kind of thinking when you're like unconsciously just going to the refrigerator, opening it up, looking for something, you know, stop and ask yourself, like, am I really hungry or what's really going on? You know, just that pause and asking the question, like what's going on here? Like, what am I feeling? What's just happened? Like, what happened earlier in the day that I'm uncomfortable about, that I just pushed down with busyness, you know? And my experience as emotional eaters, the worst time is in the late afternoon and evenings. Okay. Mm-hmm. And nighttime eating. 75% of emotional eaters do their overeating then, or the bulk of it. And so, and that's when, you know, things settle down and these emotions start to creep up. And so I think it's really important that we just start getting conscious. And thank you so much for having me here, because when we start to have this conversation and people hear it, it's going to change you. Like, it's, you're going to start thinking about your relationship with food in a different way. You can't escape it. Like, the first time I heard the words emotional eating, at first I thought this is the stupidest thing I've ever heard of, but I couldn't unhear it. Yeah. And after that, I started noticing, like, there's something different about my relationship with food. Like, I go out to restaurants, you know, my friends order a sandwich and fries. They eat their sandwich and they pick up their fries. I order a sandwich and fries. I eat my fries and pick up my sandwich, you know, because who would leave a French fry on the plate after all?
not this girl. Not right? This girl. No.
You know, so I think just tuning in to realizing, hey, it's more than just loving food. Like, there is something else going on here is so important.
Oh, I like the pep test. I think that one, I'm going to use that a little bit in my practice as well, because it is something that it takes some time though to really slow yourself down, because I have had some patients and myself included, and I go, okay, why am I doing this? What do I want right now? And a lot of times I'm like, I have no idea. And then I still keep getting that signal of like, I'm still hungry. I still want food. So how long, and I know that everyone has their different journey, let's put it this way, but for folks who have maybe tried kind of connecting, what would you say to them in terms of practicing it? How long does it take with the practice to really start to be like, okay, stop. I'm having this emotion or this feeling, and I'm going to go deal with it this way. How long does it seem to take on average for folks to really master that?
You know, it doesn't just happen. There's a lot of components to overcoming emotional eating. First of all, it's really important that we slow down. Okay. So, and that's, you know, that's like to get an emotional eater to slow down. Like, we're so busy. Overeaters are typically overdoers. And part of this is because we don't want to stop and feel. Right. So the more we pack our schedule, the more we go from here to there, there to there, to here, there, you know, it's like we don't have time to feel. And a lot of that is subconscious because we don't want to be with ourselves. Okay. That's why meditation is such a foreign idea for overeaters. We're like, what? Sit down and shut up? Never, you know? And so it's really important that we start to slow down. But because that is kind of a daunting idea, and because meditation is so powerful for emotional eaters, you know, we're not going to do that on our own. So it's really important that we have community with other people who are starting to slow down, starting to like put in some self-care practices into their lives. You know, it doesn't just happen. So community is a big component over overcoming emotional eating, slowing down, having self-care practices that get us settled and still and quiet is vital. You know, I have something called the 6 self-care success secrets that my clients use as a way to start having a morning routine where they can get still and quiet and start putting money in their spiritual bank account. Because later in the day, when we are so busy, when we have had a lot of stress, you know, the first thing we're going to reach for are chips and nuts and candies, you know, and they're always available. You know, there's no shortage of snacky foods around in our world. You know, and so if we haven't built an internal, you know, foundation or an internal resource to draw on, we're just going to reach for snacky foods or pot or wine or whatever to get us through. And all these things, you know, they certainly don't contribute to our health, you know. And so the better thing to do is to have these self-care practices that we can draw on, you know, this reservoir of resources that we can draw on within ourselves. So there's a lot of different components that go into this. So it does take time. You know, I have a program that's 90 days, which is a short period of time, but in 90 days, it's amazing what we can cover with people and how much people can transform, because I've given people a very specific step-by-step system to follow. And, you know, that's so much in my experience, what people need, because, you know, in this realm of emotional eating and healing, there tend to be a lot of nebulous concepts out there that I find not that helpful, even though they're sound principles. For instance, mindful eating is a sound principle, but it's a little nebulous, you know, right? Like what do you do? And what do you do with that? You know, and how does that really work? And, you know, another one is moderate eating and moderation. I call that the M word. You know, if somebody is an emotional eater, moderation, you know, I don't eat one or two Hershey's Kisses. Like that doesn't have, I don't eat a square, you know, people say, you know, chocolate, cacao, you know, this is good for you, dark chocolate or whatever. But, you know, I don't want a square of chocolate. Come on. Like, give me the bar now, you know, so moderation doesn't always work. And so these are concepts, intuitive eating. Like I would intuit that I should eat all the time, you know, because I've kind of broken, I've busted through that barrier. You know, I'm just somebody who goes overboard. If I start overeating, I go too far. You know, I don't have that moderation switch. And so that turnoff switch. So these are nebulous concepts for somebody who tends to struggle chronically with food and weight. And so I've just made it a lot easier by giving somebody a step-by-step system to follow. And if you don't follow it, you know, you're going to end up in trouble. And if you're in trouble, you can backtrack and say, what did I stop doing? Like, what did I stop doing? You know, reverse engineer. Okay, I'm going to get back on that horse, you know, and then you get results again. So it just takes a lot of the guesswork out of it. And I find that to be very, just successful for my clients, and it makes it a lot more clear. And that's why we can move at a pretty quick pace.
I think that's wonderful that you mentioned that, because I've always kind of thought, okay, yeah, intuitive eating, I get it. And I've tried it myself, but if it's like you said, if it's intuitive, I'm going to eat the whole bag of popcorn or the whole bag of chips, because that's what my emotional centered self wants.
Exactly. You know, exactly. Me too.
It's like a mission. You know, once I get one, I'm like, well, I had two.
Right.
I mean, it's going on. We're doing this. Yep. We're finishing it.
Right.
So it is important to take that into account, because I think for a lot of people we'll see that as being an option. And I know that a lot of the eating disorder clinics, that's their jam. And I've been to the same thing, went in for a year trying to see if, you know, I could fix something that way. But yeah, it only ended up where I just ate more because I set those tools.
Yeah.
So you speak of the number one weight loss mistake. And I'm super curious as to what that is, because everyone is going to want to know that as soon as they see that on my show notes, because I'm definitely going to highlight that. Everyone wants to know what's the number one mistake they're making right now.
Well, in my experience, it's weighing yourself, you know, and I just say put the scale away. It is not a useful tool in general. You know, maybe weigh yourself once a month if you must, but generally, I mean, I haven't weighed myself in decades, literally, and I know when my pants are too tight. I'm not stupid. You know, but the hyper focus on weight, I find to be pretty self-defeating. And, you know, my mentor told me one time, if you give the scale the power to make you feel good, you also give it the power to make you feel bad, you know, and giving our power away to a number on a scale is foolish, you know, and because it's a, you know, roller coaster ride. And I mean, let's play it out. You step on the scale, it tells you a number you're excited about. You're like, wahoo, I lost a few pounds, you know, and then subconsciously or consciously, we're like, I now have wiggle room. Like, now I've got space to eat that chocolate cake, right?
Oh, I laugh because that's exactly what my brain thinks every time.
And so the scale just gave you permission to eat. Great. You're about to gain those 2 pounds again, you know? And if it tells us a number we don't like, and we've been working out like religiously or, you know, being super good, quote, good, guess what? We're going to be like, screw this. Like, what's the point? What I'm screw the gym, you know, and we're gonna be like, it doesn't work. There's no point in this. And so we just quit doing things that are healthy for us because the scale basically told us there's no point, you know? And so either way, it's a head game that we don't need. Like, wouldn't it be nice to just focus on doing the best we can each day to have a self-care routine, to try to treat ourselves the best we possibly can, to lessen our stress, to make sure we get support from other people who understand the journey, and just do the best we can and leave it there. You know, why do we have to have the scale determine how we feel and how we act? And so it's very counterproductive, and it's an addiction. You know, I mean, my clients come in and they're like, I can't possibly let go of the scale, but they do because they just paid me money to like to heal. And so like, okay, I'll do it. And then they realize the freedom in it. It gives them so much freedom because they have a new focus. And so much of what I do is try to get people off the diet mentality. You know, these foods are good. These foods are bad, the good and bad, the black and white, you know, all this stuff. And we just really have to shift the focus away from the weight loss, because it's not about the food and it's not about the weight. You know, overweight is a symptom of overeating, and overeating is a symptom of what's eating me. So let's start looking at that. What's eating me? What's lacking in my life that I need to put some, you know, things in a place like self-care, like some good self-loving, you know, actions that I can take, and start clearing out some of those emotions that are getting in my way of feeling joy and freedom.
That's huge. That's huge. And I love that. Okay. I haven't weighed myself in forever. And I think for a lot of people, the biggest factor, and one of the things in my office, when patients come in, new patients, they're always like, you're not going to weigh me. I'm like, no, There's a dusty, crusty scale in our back in our bathroom. If you absolutely want it, it may or may not turn on. I don't know. But it's one of those things where, so maybe in my office it doesn't happen, but we do have to go to conventional docs and sometimes you'll get weighed there. What is your advice to folks when they go to the doctor's office? Do you have a certain spiel for them about the weight when the doc has to weigh them and go through that process?
Oh God, I have PTSD from that as a kid. My doctor, like, showing my mom the graph and the red line that kept going up. I mean, it's just such a bummer. Honestly, when I go to the doctor and they want to weigh me, you know, it's just their, you know, like, that's their protocol. I'll just turn around. I turn around and I say, I don't want to know my weight. That's all I say. And so they check my weight and they put it on the chart and, you know, that's it. And they're fine. They get what they need and I get what I need. I don't get involved in my weight. You know, and so it's just easier. That's what I've been doing for a long time. You know, again, I know when my pants are tight and, you know, perhaps I've been, you know, eating some things that are probably not necessary, you know, a little extra something here or there. So that's just, it's just more organic. And it's all about how I feel. I want to feel good. You know, and I don't want to medicate my feelings with food. And so that's really where I put the focus.
Good to hear. Yeah. I think for a lot of people, they don't know that they have the power to say that they don't have to hear it. So yeah. I think that's one of the big things to kind of put out there is you don't have to hear it. You don't have to even ask me nothing. So one of the things you had mentioned is about managing stress before it drives you to the kitchen. So throughout the day, obviously we have stressors. In my practice, I often have people creating a journal so that they can see what triggers them. How do you work with it? How specifically with emotional eating do we look at the stress throughout the day? Are we looking at when we're overwhelmed? Are we looking at, you know, and then how do we manage it throughout the day? What's kind of your go-to spiel or kind of a base plan that you recommend for folks?
Yeah, I mean, stress leads to stress eating, bottom line. You know, I have to be super aware of my stress level. Like I, as I said, overeaters are overdoers. You know, we like to be super busy so we don't have to be with ourselves. And, you know, we also like to be super women so that we, you know, get kudos, you know, we get recognition, which we like to have lots of validation. I can talk about where that comes from, you know. And so the bottom line is I have to be aware of my stress and I will, you know, say yes or no to requests of my time and energy based on kind of measuring out what my stress level is. And I don't put too much on my plate, so to speak, pardon the pun, you know, anymore, because I know that if I max out my stress, I'll be in trouble. Like, not that it'll necessarily make me eat, but it puts me in a more vulnerable position. And I, you know, it's not okay for me. Like, I don't want to overeat. It feels bad. I like, you know, how I feel on a daily basis. I don't want to be numb. I want to be as clear as possible. And so, but it doesn't just happen. You know, good health doesn't just happen. We have to make discerning, you know, decisions. And so that's what I do. And if somebody asked me to do something, I mean, literally somebody asked me recently to be on a sales team for their big event, you know, because I have sales skills, would you come do this? And as a favor, and I was doing my own event, you know, I do a quit sugar challenge every quarter and I was about to do a quit sugar challenge. And I said, no, I can't do it. I have to save up my energy. I don't want to be tapped out, you know, and I can't also do the hours they ask you to do because I'm an emotional eater and I have to make sure I meditate and pray and walk and do my self-care because my self-care comes first is a non-negotiable. I do not mess with it. I have to do, you know, my daily self-care routine. Why? Because that sets me up for success. You know, that connects me with my divine spirit, you know, that fuels me and protects me and guides me. So it helps me not need excess food. So there's a method to the madness and I don't mess with it, but self-care is such a foreign idea, especially for women. You know, we are so used to pushing ourselves to the limit, saying yes to everybody. And that has to change. And the reason why 98% of all diets fail is because we want to, you know, lose weight. So we stop eating the crappy foods, you know, which were our mainstay. Like that was our, you know, that's how we got by. that was our support system. You know, for so many, food is our main source of support. You know, I can handle all kinds of stress if I don't mind overeating, you know? And so if I don't want to overeat, I have to change my stress level. So it's really important to realize that I need new tools. If I'm not overeating, I've got to have new tools. The tools that food was doing for me, I need to seek elsewhere, and preferably tools that don't have an adverse side effect like overeating does, or eating sugar and carbs does, because I don't binge on salads. Sorry, but like my go-to is fat and sugar and starch, you know? And so, because that works, that kills the pain, that helps me escape, that has a built-in punishment, right? Remember the PEP. So super, super important that I have self-care first and foremost in my life. And everybody who knows me knows I don't go without meditating. You know, I don't care if I'm where I'm in the world, I'll sit in my car and meditate before going to dinner with people. You know, I will always make sure I get it in. I meditate twice a day for 20 minutes. You know, I learned a TM practice 30 years ago, and it's just, but it makes me clear. It makes me feel more confident. I'm more intuitive when I meditate, you know, but it keeps me emotionally balanced as well. So it's a small price to pay. And I think we're just not used to paying that price. Like we're used to paying, like going to doctors to fix our fat, you know, but we're not used to just taking a little bit of more time in our day, you know, and putting off our calendar, you know, not starting our day, like pushing it back half an hour so we can have some self-care, some spiritual practices, some calming exercising, breathing exercises, yoga, whatever you want to do that gets you still and quiet and centered. You know, that's a small price to pay for emotional balance and freedom from overeating and food addiction.
No, it truly is. And I think one of the things, and as you were talking, I was thinking about some of the objections that I hear from ladies. Well, I don't have time.
I bet you hear a lot.
Yeah. I don't have time to do a morning routine. I don't have time to meditate. I can't meditate. I'm too busy. And so, you know, it really does come down to, are you too busy for your health? Are you too busy to get the weight off? You know, it's what's, you know, what's your priority here, and where are you going to go in that?
Yeah. I tell people you can't afford not to. You know, or I'll ask them, can you afford to not do these things? You know, Emmett Fox is somebody, is a kind of spiritual teacher that I have a book of his I read. And he says, if you don't find time to be healthy, you'll be forced to find time to be sick.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's take, you know, pick your poison, you know, a small investment of time each day in yourself and in your health versus, you know, big chunks of time that you're gonna have to, you know, be forced to spend taking time off from work, taking time off from vacations, you know, or other fun things because you're laid up because you haven't tended to your health.
It makes sense. It makes sense. Well, speaking of that, you have a couple things that you are offering in addition to a consultation, a complimentary consultation, but you also have a quiz. And I think for a lot of people, maybe diving in a little bit more to figure out, you know, is this really a thing? Maybe they're kind of going, well, do I want to invest the time? Do I want to invest with, you know, the effort into this? Because maybe it is an emotional eating aspect, or maybe it's something else. Tell us a little bit about your quiz and how that might help folks to identify if this is the time and if they can put aside the time to take care of themselves.
Sure thing. It's an emotional eating quiz. You can find out. I basically feel like we're all emotional eaters. Like we're hardwired to have an emotional connection with food. That's why breastfeeding is such a powerful experience for the child and the mother, you know? So it's kind of a built-in thing. So everybody goes overboard here or there. But for those, you know, who go overboard a lot, you know, and are starting to have some consequences of their overeating, of their weight struggles, you know, if it's starting to be chronic, I mean, you really have to find out where you are on the spectrum of emotional eating, because there's different things you can do based on where you are on the spectrum. So if you take this quiz, it's called the emotional eating quiz, and you find out if you're an emotional eater, you know, on the low end, or a food addict on the high end, which I was, total food addict, because I had a lot of consequences and very little control, you know, then I know how to treat it. So if you take this quiz, it takes like 2 minutes to take. It's free. It's on my website, healyourhunger.com. And if you take the quiz, you're going to get literally a personalized score and then a list of things you can do to start dealing with that. And, you know, that's a great place to start.
I love it. I love it. Yeah. Cause I think a lot of people are like, am I though? Am I not? Is it a deal? Is it not a deal? You know,
there's a lot of myths around it. People think they have to be overweight in order to be an emotional eater, which is not true. People have to think they have to be a binger to be an emotional eater, which is not true. I mean, if you're just somebody who prefers potatoes over broccoli or bananas over apples, you know, those are emotional choices. Or if you even undereat, that's an emotional decision as well. So there's a lot of emotional eating that's happening that doesn't necessarily fit the bill of, you know, somebody's obese and somebody who's out of control.
That's really a great point that you mentioned. And I think we need to dive into that a little bit here, because I do see a lot of folks who will not eat. And then I see a lot of folks who are like, well, I'm not overweight, so it's not a problem.
Right.
And I'm like,
and that's too bad, because they could be wrecking their health. I mean, honestly, in some ways, I'm glad I was blessed with, you know, a fat ass, basically. Yeah. So pardon me. I know it sounds terrible, but I couldn't hide it. I couldn't hide it. You know, I hated it. And my tummy that would, you know, give me muffin top. I mean, these things I couldn't hide, and they drove me, you know, it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing. I hated it. I couldn't fit in the clothes. I mean, I love clothes, and I couldn't fit into my cute clothes. And this kind of drove me to do something about it. And sometimes if somebody doesn't have that drive or that fear of, you know, embarrassment or whatever, they can hide it more. They can hide their eating more easily. You know, sometimes it's harder for them because they don't have that as an impetus for change, in which case they have to depend on just wanting to treat themselves better. And as overeaters or undereaters or just emotional eaters, we don't feel like doing good things for ourselves. Like, part of this comes from a deep sense of like a lack of worth. I mean, really, that's what's driving this thing. And so if we don't have a lack of worth, we don't feel worthy of treating our bodies better. You know, sometimes those outward stimuli is helpful. So it's just, but really important to know that we can wreck our health, even if we don't gain weight. You know, we can wreck our nervous system. We can wreck our immunity. You know, we can create autoimmunity and prediabetes and all kinds of things, even as somebody in a thin body. So, but not even, it's not even that. Like, there's so many physical problems, but just living in shame, living in embarrassment, living in secrecy about our food habits, you know, it separates us from other people. It makes us feel even more unworthy, you know, and then we don't have the energy we should have. We don't have the clarity of mind we should have. And we're more prone to depression, more prone to anxiety. You know, foods that we eat affect these things. I mean, of course, you know that more than anybody. So there are so many reasons why it pays off to start addressing, you know, this emotional dependence we have on excess food or foods that are unhealthy.
I couldn't have said it better. You know, you just don't have the time to do it. I mean, your health is more important. You are important. And I think this is a great way to kind of segue into how folks can connect with you. Of course, your website, healyourhunger.com. What other ways can folks interact with you in addition to, you know, working with you, looking at the quiz, reading your book? What other things can folks do?
Sure. I do have a podcast called The Heal Your Hunger Show. So definitely subscribe to that. And I get real personal on my show. So, and it's not about food. I'm talking about the emotions. I'm talking about life stuff. Cause it's really at the end of the day, it's a living problem, not an eating problem. So I talk all about the living problem, starting with myself as the guinea pig, you know? So I'm talking about that stuff on my show, the Heal Your Hunger Show. I also, am on Instagram at Trisha Nelson underscore. So underscores right at the end of the N and Nelson. Okay. And then I also have a Facebook group called The Secret Sauce to End Emotional Eating. So if people go to the Facebook group, I do a lot of live, you know, video on there and interviews and just popping in for tips and different things that I have to offer.
Oh, love it. I love it. I love when there's definitely a Facebook group, because I think a lot of folks at this point need some support, need someone that they can kind of get some good help with, but also a community around it. And that's what we strive to do here with the Health Fix, is just get a community talking around the issues
yes.
that are important. So that is awesome. Well, Trisha, thank you so much for coming on the Health Fix and sharing so much good information. I really appreciate it. Folks, I will have all of our notes and everywhere you can find Trisha on our podcast notes at drjkrausnd.com. And boy, some good stuff here. I hope you guys check her I mean, everything out, but like get a hold of the podcast. I really love your candidness on the podcast and how you're just real and real things that do come up. So folks, head over there, check out everything and get some good value out of it, because emotional eating is a real deal thing. Take it from me. I've battled with it my whole life, and really, you know, it's a work in progress every single day, and you just got to keep striving to get better.
Amen. I love you. I love your vulnerability, and it's so beautiful. I'm sure it makes you a much better doctor on account of that. I love it when people like own their own stuff. It's just so refreshing and beautiful, and you are beautiful. So thank you for the beautiful work that you do in the world.
Thanks, Trisha. Well, let's sign off for today. You guys have survived another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause, with Trisha Nelson. You guys have a great day.
Hey, Health Junkies. I hope you enjoyed my podcast. If you want to continue the conversation based on what topic I'm talking about at any given time on The Health Fix podcast, head over to my Facebook group, Find Your Health Fix. It's where we are talking about what's going on in health, what I'm talking about in the podcast, and I love to answer questions there. So come hang out and join the conversation. And by the way, right now I have a free Manage Your Stress Naturally course that you can grab on my website at drjkrausend.com, because so many people are stressed out right now, and really it has to do with the basics, your routines and simple habits that are messing you up. So head on over to drjkrausend.com and go check out my free course on managing stress naturally. All right, folks, have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Subscribe, rate, and share info.